I'm just going to give some of your ages away a little bit this morning. Anybody remember the way like driving used to be? Okay, before all this safety stuff, all right? So, you know, before power steering, how many of you had a car without power steering? All right. How many of you had, you know, a car without air conditioning? All right. Okay. Well, a lot, a bunch of old people in here. All right. How many of you, remember the first time we went to Zimbabwe, they assumed everybody in America had automatic transmission in their car, but how many of you know how to drive a stick? All right. And how many of you remember driving before seatbelts were kind of a thing? All right. So, you know, good number of us. So just think about it. Before seatbelts, you know, parents could pack like 8 kids into a car. Right, just pile them in. You know, the more the merrier. I remember going on family vacation, and you know, we always had the big honking car, you know, with the huge, enormous back seat. You know, but my dad built this bench and made a little pallet so we could all, you know, they'd drive all night, and the theory was that we would lay down in the back seat and sleep. Yeah. Now, that worked very well most of the time, but I remember Morgan's probably the one I wasn't thinking of. But Morgan, we were driving. They all going, yeah. So the theory is we were going to drive all night. But Morgan sat up by me and just talked all night long, which was a really cool memory for us. But you know, it's just a different thing. Before all these mechanical safety devices, however, some of us no doubt grew up with a different kind of child restraint system. All right. It was called the mom seatbelt. All right. So she'd hit the brakes and do this. Right. How many of you ever had the arm bar go up for you? All right. Or you've thrown one of those. So Judith Vorst reminded me of this when she wrote, "This year I received a Mother's Day card that pictured a mother driving her car with her son in the passenger seat and her outstretched arm protectively flung across the chest." That's a pretty good memory that, you know, people in, you know, today's world will never know anything about that. But some of us that are old enough do remember that. And so really, mom was the original safety belt. And she really kind of still is. A mother's protective reach has always been a saving seat belt for her family. But this seat belt takes different forms in different families. For some, mom offered the seatbelt of just a continual presence. For some, mom offered the seatbelt of stability. For some, mom offered a seatbelt of gentleness. And my kids were very grateful that there was gentleness in their life, because they probably were not going to get much of that from their dad. They got other things. A spirit of love, of forgiveness, of tenderness. Always being accessible, always welcoming. Arms that wrapped around to provide a time out or just some safe space for a moment. Nearly 3/4 of the nation's over 100 million women age 15 and older, we won't go there too much, have at least one child. Mother's Day trounces poor Father's Day by a long shot. All right. I mean, I would, you know, pastors really kind of look forward to Mother's Day. All right. Because we know it's a day where mom's going to say, "Hey, I'd really like for you to go to church with me." On Father's Day, it's going to be a low watermark. We know that at church. Because dad goes, "Hey, could you just leave me alone all day long and let me do what I want to do? I mean, that would be your gift to me." All right. You know, it's true. Hallmark estimates 150 million Mother's Day cards will be sent this year. 95 million for dad. Okay, just saying. I don't know if this is true. Somebody could verify, I know, in the room today. But I read this. But there's a claim that one of the busiest days of the year at the car wash is Saturday before Mother's Day, because everybody wants to impress their mom, all right? And maybe she's going to say something about your dirty car when you show up. All right. All right, you can pay me later for that, Larry, all right? Luke chapter 6, if you will, please, this morning. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And so I picked this text today just to remind us that for our house to stand and be solid and to withstand the storms of life, it needs to be on a rock solid foundation. And I'm just here to say that for most of our families, that rock solid foundation is what mothers do for our family that keeps us solid, that keeps us on that firm foundation. This is what mothers do. I knew I'd get a good one, a good amen for that. All right. This is what mothers do with children in the home. They make love, they make believe, and they make hope. First, they make love. This is the essential foundation stone for our family life, making love. Now let's not all forget, don't have too many kids in the room, let's not all forget that all of us in the room were once conceived through the passionate bonding of our mothers and fathers. We all had mothers who carried us within their own bodies for around 9 months. You know, ours always came early, so that's why I say around 9 months. Without exception, each of us was given that moment in time when our mothers labored to give us birth. The sexual relationship of mother and father is an important aspect of home building, yet a mother's lovemaking is far more diverse and deep than just sexual love. A mother's love is unconditional, unselfish, tireless, and tender. After the French Revolution, just living and finding food was very, very difficult. Not a garden had been left growing. A French captain and private were walking through the fields, and they were, you know, just on patrol, and they heard some noise in the bushes. And so the private stuck his bayonet into the bushes, and out came this mother and her two sons. And obviously they were starving. They were in very bad condition. And so the captain told another private, "Hey, get some food out for these people." And so he brings out this loaf of bread and hands it to the mother. The mother broke it in half, handed one to one son and the other to the other son. And the private looked at the captain and said, I guess the mother's not hungry." No, soldier. It's because she's a mother. What a picture, a mother giving everything for her children. It's a dramatic incarnation of love. And so that's the first essential in building a house for the family. It has to do with making love. And it really, you know, we say that it's the father's job for children to have a good understanding of who God is. And I think we get a little lost in some of the descriptives, because really, come on, somebody, God's just as much a mother as he is a father. And there's some attributes to mothers that we're not going to learn everything about God from our fathers, because there's just deficiencies in men, and there's deficiencies in women also. But some of what we know and understand about God, we did learn from our mother, because God is love. 1 John says, God is love. And we really understand. Our understanding of love really comes more from our mother than our father, because it is our mother who loved us unconditionally. Now, look, like Josh said earlier, you know, not everybody has a perfect situation. We get that. And it is with some gravity that we take on these special days. Because Mother's Day isn't just a happy day for everybody. I mean, if you didn't grow up, you know, with that loving, unconditionally loving mother, then, you know, we do feel sorry for you. And you didn't get everything that you should have gotten in this life. But you can get that from God. And you can get that in your relationship from God. But mostly we learn that unconditional, forgiving, tender side of God from our mothers. The other thing that our mothers do is they make believe. They make believe. Mothers encourage our sense of wonder and belief. They made us superhero capes when we were little. They let us build forts in the living room using the furniture and the blankets. How many of you ever did that? All right. Mothers observe beautiful sunsets and say, "Everybody come look. You've got to see the sunset tonight," right? They plant beautiful flowers. And then they cut them off and they bring them in the house so that we can enjoy them all the time. Mothers help with our sense of wonder and make believe. Mothers read us stories that begin once upon a time. And it is this sense of wonder and belief that's so vital to our faith. Make believe instills faith in children. I know there's some debate sometimes when it comes to the holidays of how much you should bring in the pretend part of holidays and the make-believe part of holidays. But can I just tell you, I think it's an important part. Because we need to have that sense of wonder. We need to have that sense of belief. As human beings, faith is able to see things that don't exist and call them into being. Are you listening to me? When God created this world, it all came out of His imagination. And we're created in the image of God. And so somewhere that has to be nurtured and developed in our lives. And mothers have that sense of being able to help us to see things that don't exist. Make believe instills faith in children. Faith is that solid rock foundation. Mothers unashamedly demonstrate their faith with their families. Now, I don't look around a lot during the worship, but a lot of times, you know, during the singing part of the service, a lot of times men are standing around with their hands in their pockets. Come on, somebody. And enjoying the music. But a lot of times the percentage is a little bit more where women are able to open up their hearts with that sense of wonder and connect with something that they can't see, but they know is real. And aren't we glad for moms in our life that helps us connect with God because they make believe? Knowing that mom is praying brings comfort and stability in our lives. It breeds confidence in children, knowing that mom is praying for us. And more often than not, mothers make sure that we regularly make it to church services. The other thing that mothers do for us is they make hope. Essential for every stage of life. Children, teenagers, college students, old people, and even pastors need hope. And moms are a great source of hope. Moms believe in us. Moms tell us that it's going to get better, that we're going to get through this. You see, desperation and despair are very real in the world that we live in today. The family then must be the setting where hope is cultivated and transmitted to one another. Our homes should be an oasis of hope. When people step into our house, they should experience this tangible peace and they should be gripped by love. And moms primarily are the ones that are responsible for making that happen in our homes. That sense of over and over and over again, when people come to our house, into our home, I mean, I just can't even tell you how many times people have made this statement. They said, there's just such a peace here. There's just such a peace here. You ever walked into a room and you just know, just right before you got there, there was a lot of tension going on? Have you ever walked into that room and just felt that? If that can be felt and if that can be experienced, then that sense of hope and joy and peace also are tangible and can be experienced. Mom is vital to making all of these experiences real and make sure that they're thriving in our homes. So I'm going to talk to the not moms right now. It is the responsibility then of all of the rest of us to protect mom. We must do everything in our power and ability to make sure that mom is strong and healthy and happy and sane. Because mom really is the center of our family life. Now, at the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to call in the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. And we get that word saved from Jesus. Okay? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But really, the invitation isn't just to be saved. Really, the invitation is this. It's an invitation to become part of God's family. Family, an understanding family. That's why pastoring is more difficult today than it used to be. Because of such a breakdown of the family unit in our society. Because we've been invited to be part of God's family, but if you don't know what a family really is, you don't know what a healthy family looks like, then it's kind of hard for you to even be connected to this idea of being part of God's family, because maybe for you, family isn't a great word. Maybe family for you wasn't a great experience, but I'm telling you, it can be. And moms have such a vital role in making sure that our family is what it ought to be. And that's why mom ought to be guarded and protected. Hey, look, if I ever did something to violate the trust that Michelle and I have after 35 years of being married, not one kid would go with me. It's okay. They would all pick their mom, I guarantee. But isn't that the way it ought to be? Hey, come on. Have you ever seen a sports star at the end of the game being interviewed going, "Hi, Dad"? Never. Not one time. Always mom. Moms do one other thing for us, and I think this is very important. Moms make sure that our families make memories. Make memories. And that's so vital to growing up healthy and strong. Sometimes, usually, it's just the simple, silly things. Moms insist on taking the family portraits. How many of you just have almost like terrifying thoughts of family picture days? And just trying to get everybody to smile and keep their hands to themselves. When there's six of us, the chances of us all looking good in the same picture are just like the statistics aren't good for us, especially the younger the children were, because somebody was always tormenting somebody else. Are you listening to me? All right. But mom's insistent. We're going to get this picture and you are going to straighten up and you're going to smile and you're going to come on, somebody. Moms establish and hold us to our family traditions. I mean, our youngest is 20 and our oldest will be 30 this summer. All right. But they still hunt for Easter eggs. I'm not kidding. And it's a contest, who can find them first. And Christmas morning, even though our daughter, now has a family of her own, we still find a way to bring those traditions still into that family life because it's important. I mean, it's just It's just vital, those traditions. Wonderful childhood memories are the strong foundation on which healthy, happy lives are built. We love our mom, right? But I want you to think about something. I mentioned it earlier. We think of God being a father, and understand He is Father God, and that's the way I will always address Him. But there is a motherhood side to God that I think we need to connect with today. And I pulled out a couple of scriptures for this reason. Luke 13 says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." There's a part of God that is so tender, that is so loving, that is so hopeful, that believes in you. And Jesus, looking over Jerusalem and that city that was, you know, running away from God and were being quite rebellious, He pulls up this Old Testament quote and says, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you're not willing." When you think about the emotions, when you think about the way that your mom, and again, if you didn't have this mom, then imagine this mom. I didn't realize really how fortunate that I was growing up. I thought everybody grew up like we did. I thought everybody had the Leave It to Beaver family. I thought everybody had, the mom that made breakfast, wore pearls, you know, while she was doing something. No, she didn't wear pearls. You know, the dad that worked hard and came to your ball games, even though he had other things to do. Come on, right? That, you know, sat and gave you this godly wisdom and advice. You see, it was my mom on a Saturday morning when I was 10 years old that introduced me to the idea of being born again, that I could have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I just thought everybody grew up that way with just parents that loved you and loved you unconditionally and believed in you. And what an advantage that is. But if you didn't have that, come on, there's a God who loves you that way. And when He looks at you, and if you're trying to run away from Him and trying to get away from Him, God says, "Man, so many times I just wanted to gather you under my wing like a hen gathers the chicks." How many of you have ever seen that? Like out in the barnyard. How many of you have ever seen that picture, you know, like the dog comes barking and all of a sudden the little chicks are just like screaming and hollering and the mother hen is like running around and all of a sudden she's gathering them under. It's like, all right, what are you going to do about it now, dog? You know, come on. That's the way God feels about you. God wants to gather you under His wing and protect you and guard you and make you part of His family today. Psalm 91 says that He shall gather you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please, this morning?